Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
It's all about the NFL schedules today. That's the big stories. You know, the Broncos, obviously, but then looking at everybody else's schedule. Denver has a really complicated schedule. The AFC West, man, that is a murderer's row right there. That is going to be a tough task for Denver to get through. That alone is going to be interesting. So I did want to look at this, a piece from ESPN.com. They're over and unders for most of the teams. I'm not going to go through every team there, but just some of the ones at the top that I think are interesting and kind of get your thoughts there. So we'll do that as a part of our NFL segment as we jump over to today in the NFL. The Buffalo Bills. Many believe the Bills to be the best team going at it to start the season next year. Their over and under is 11.5, by far the most in the AFC East. The Dolphins, Patriots, and Jets. Oof. Patriots and Dolphins are at the same. Over and under is 8.5. As for the Jets, theirs is 5.5. Wow. Even the nice draft situation that the Jets have doesn't make us feel any better about the Jets. The Baltimore Ravens do have the most electrifying man in sports entertainment. That's Lamar Jackson. The over-under there is 9.5. Pretty simple. Lamar stays healthy, you got the over. Lamar doesn't stay healthy, you're taking the under. That's as simple as you can get, man. The Bengals are 9.5, and the Browns are 9.5. We still don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. That's a risk. Gamblers, beware. If you're going to take the over-under with the Browns, doesn't it all depend on Deshaun Watson? So it's out of even the NFL's hand. Well, I guess it's kind of in the NFL's hand. Pittsburgh, 7.5. Well, that's interesting. What's going to happen with... is it going to be Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky? AFC South, best team there. We're looking at the Colts and the Titans. The Colts and the Titans both given the over-under of 9.5. What's going to happen with the Colts? Is Matt Ryan going to kind of semi-revive his career with the Colts with guys like Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor? How about the Titans? Ryan Tannehill doesn't want to train anybody. Doesn't want to help anybody, which I agree with. That's fine. Do your thing. Is Derrick Henry going to be healthy enough to lead this team? And then without A.J. Brown, what does that do? Titans are over under 9.5. Broncos are 10. Chiefs are 10.5. Raiders are 8.5. Chargers are 10. By far the most collectively over-unders in the NFL is the AFC West. The worst team, as far as that over-under is predicted, is 8.5 for the Raiders. That's insane. Chargers and Broncos at 10 and the Chiefs at 10.5. NFC East, Commanders at 7.5, Giants at 7, Cowboys at 10.5, Eagles at 9. How about the NFC North? I mean, it's just going to be the Packers again, right? They're over and under is 11 for the Packers. The rest, it's 6.5 for the Bears, 6 for the Lions, 9 for the Vikings. NFC South, Falcons 5.5, Panthers 6, Saints 7.5, Tampa Bay Buccaneers 11.5. No 12s. 11.5 was the high number, and that goes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills. So according to that, the over and unders there, those are the two best teams going in to the NFL regular season. Now, again, I know the schedules are whatever, but those are the two teams with 11.5 win predicted.
I tend to get really irritated by the whole, they have the toughest schedule, because we never really know. We don't know until like 8 games into the season who is actually really,
well, they're basing
really
it off of last year. They're basing it off of last year.
Yeah, but last year was last year, and we don't know. We
the
know
cliche
that the Jets are
police
probably
call. They
suck.
Want your saying back, Michael. Last year was last year, but they're still like, are the Chiefs still good?
Probably.
Are the Raiders good?
Yeah, they're
are the
probably
Chargers
number
good?
4.
So that's based on last year. I mean, I do look at this, and I'm going to get into the rest of my schedule. The Broncos do have a ridiculously hard schedule because I do think that it's going to take hold from last year. Like Seattle, they're unknown. You're right on this side. The unknowns will prove to be known. So I'll give you that. So could Seattle be better? I don't think so, but maybe.
But how many times have we heard, oh, this team has the toughest schedule this year, and they blow through all those teams because those teams aren't very good, or because
yeah,
they just had an unfortunate situation with injuries.
You better hope that the Broncos' first half of the season is as easy as we think it could be, because the second half is going to be brutal. Because I'll tell you right now, this is based on my predictions, from Sunday, December 4th, to the final game of the season, which is TBD, January 7th or 8th between the Chargers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the Broncos are going to finish with, in my opinion, 6 playoff teams. So I think the Ravens are going. I think the Chiefs are going. I think the Cardinals are going. I think the Rams are going. I think the Chiefs are going. And I think the Chargers are going. That's 6 playoff teams you're going to finish your season with. That is a buzzsaw. Can the Broncos do enough before that to set themselves up for a playoff run? Because you damn sure do not want to count on a trip to Baltimore, Los Angeles, and Kansas City, and then home against Kansas City, Arizona, and Los Angeles to the other two Los Angeleses there. The Rams of the Christmas game on the road. You do not want to leave your fate up to that 6-game stretch at the end of the season.
I'd rather the Broncos play a tough schedule than a wimpy schedule.
I think most would rather see the Broncos get in the playoffs for the first time in 6 years.
Yeah, but if you play a wimpy schedule and then you go up against a really good team, that's
well,
tough.
You're not playing
the
wimpy schedule.
Yeah, any given Sunday, but...
So, okay, let me go through the rest of this here. After the Colts game, so I have the Broncos sitting at 4-1 to start the season, beating the Colts at home. Then on Monday Night Football, they go to Los Angeles. I do Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be a great team. Justin Herbert's only going to get better. Unfortunately, I see the Broncos lose their first division second. Well, they'd lose their first division game. That would be their second division game. They'd be 1-1 in the AFC West. I think they lose on Monday Night Football to the Chargers. But luckily for them, they get to bounce back to playing the Jets the next week at home. And then they're on the road. The Jacksonville game is in London. And it will be bright and early, 7:30 in the morning. So I think Denver wins both of those games, and then they go to the bye. So that's perfect. After their London game, they have a bye week. So I have the Broncos sitting at 6-2 heading into the bye. So you're feeling very good about life if you're a Broncos fan at this point. You come out, you bust out of the gates with a trip to Tennessee. I'm not a buyer in Tennessee. My playoff teams are this: Broncos, Chargers, Chiefs, Baltimore. Who else did I have? I have Cleveland in there. Who am I missing? Oh, Bills, obviously. Who am I missing? Patriots? I don't know. Either way, I don't think that the Titans are going to squeeze in this year. I don't know. I think that finally this... Love Derrick Henry, but I think it finally the one-dimensional thing runs its course, and without A.J. Brown, I'd be very curious to see how that works out. However, I do like the Broncos to win on the road against Tennessee. You're 7-2 now. You are loving life. Home against the Raiders, and I think the Broncos sweep the Raiders this year. I think the Broncos win at home November 20th against Las Vegas. Then they get on the road to go up against Carolina. I think they win that game. So you are looking at a 9-2 record before you jump in to this monster 6-game stretch. And I think you have to be this. I think you have to be pretty damn close to 9-2 or so before you jump in. They're on the road at Baltimore. And again, assuming on December 4th that Lamar Jackson is healthy, I think Baltimore wins that game. And Denver starts their stretch of miserable games with a loss. 9-3. Home against Kansas City. I like Denver at home to break Kansas City's win streak against them. What is it at now? Are we at 12, 13? Not even sure.
I think we're at 13.
Is it 13? Okay, so I think Denver breaks it on Sunday, December 11th, and they get win number 10, but we're not over yet. We're not over. We're breaking even, folks. You get your money back right now, at least. Then they're home against Arizona. I think there's a little hangover effect after finally breaking that Chiefs deal, and you lose to Arizona. Then Christmas Day. We're loving the fact that Broncos are playing on Christmas Day against the Rams. It's not really prime time, but it kind of feels cool. It kind of feels like it might be. I think Denver loses that game. They're on the road against the Rams. Then you're on the road against the Chiefs. You got two games remaining. The people that took the over for Denver are sweating bullets right now. You got two games. One of them's at Arrowhead. I think you lose that game. Denver is now, so I have the Denver Broncos sitting at, that gave me my 10th win, right? So 10 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got them at 10 and 6, home against the Chargers, and that could have a lot of meaning, whether that gets them into the playoffs, whether that gets them a better seed in the playoffs. I think Denver closes it out with a win, and they get win number 11. The over-under crowd is happy. You got 11. I think the Broncos go 11 and 6 this season. They do get into the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, and we'll see how far they can go from there. Good thing is it's a hard schedule, but they do not have the Bengals or the Bills in that mix, who, you know, many believe, obviously, the Bills are going to be the best team. Can you survive the first? Can you survive? Not survive. Can you get ahead in the first portion of this schedule? That's the big deal here. Can you win enough games where you make that final stretch of football? Okay, it's not the end of the world if we do struggle. You don't want to limp into the playoffs, and that's unfortunately kind of how I have the Broncos doing it. I have them losing three of their last four, but doing enough in the first portion of the season to get in. Now, again, the Arizona one I went back and forth on. You know, it depends on Arizona. You want to talk about a team that had an easy schedule last year. They were, what were they, 11-0 or something like that? They were rolling, and then they just totally, the bottom fell out, and they were terrible the rest of the way through, including in their playoff game. Now, it just depends. Who are you going to get in that game? Where are they at with Kyler Murray? I just think Arizona is still a pretty damn good team. I think that, again, the fact that you beat Kansas City, in my mind, on Sunday, December 11th, there's a little hangover effect after snapping that win streak and you lose to the Cardinals. Christmas will be interesting. But, hey, I hope I'm wrong. I went back and forth on a lot of these. I did give Denver the win against San Francisco originally. I took that back. I just feel like San Francisco's a good enough team, and Denver's still trying to figure things out. Listen, I think 11-6 is very good for Denver, would be huge for Denver. I don't think they're going to be upper echelon. That's where I stand right now. I think the Bills, is 11-6 going to be enough to win the division? And I think it actually could be. Because I think Kansas City and Chargers and Ray, I mean, that's the best division in football. They are going to beat each other up. And according to what I have Denver sweeping the Raiders. So they're 2-0. They split with the Chargers and the Chiefs. So what does that make them? 4-2. I got them 4-2 in the division. That might be the key stat there. 4-2 in the division. Because when you look at what the Chiefs have, again, these AFC West schedules, they're all going through the same thing. So nobody feels special. The Chiefs open up at Arizona. That's a tough spot. Home against the Chargers. At Indianapolis, they have a Monday night or a Sunday night game at Tampa Bay. Home against Las Vegas, they have Buffalo on October 16th. And then they're at San Francisco. Boy, that's going to be a tough schedule, isn't it? Man. See, that's the thing with the Chiefs is they've got the crazy schedule there. It does say Prime Video for those Thursday night games. Thursday night for the Chiefs, they'll be playing Los Angeles. TV, it says Prime Video. What kind of membership do you have to be able to watch that? Is it just a regular Amazon Prime deal, or do you have to have like you're the guru on all these outlets, Michael? What do people have to have? Can they just have your basic Amazon Prime subscription?
I don't know about that. I know Hulu, you have to have a special Hulu subscription. Because I just have the basic Disney bundle one, mm-hmm. and every time I want to watch live TV, it's like, no, you have to have the special one. You're not special enough.
That's weird. Sorry.
It actually says it like that. I can feel the
smugness.
Yeah, how much it hates me because I don't pay enough.
That's the thing, dude. Like, I don't even know. My wife has to handle all that stuff because I don't know. Like, Amazon Prime. What was the other? Is it Amazon that had The Sopranos, but then we didn't have the upgraded version, so then no longer could I watch The Sopranos, or was it HBO Max or whatever?
Now it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, dude, I don't even know what the hell that means. I have Netflix, Amazon Prime, and now we have Disney. I got a four-year-old. Lord knows we need that. But Amazon doesn't get me everything I needed in the past now. Is it going to get me football?
You can still usually get it on Amazon. You just have to pay $2 or $3.
I don't want to pay $2 or $3. I'm paying however much the monthly thing is for Amazon Prime. I don't even know what it is, to be honest. Money is no object.
Yes, all of us are rich here.
so I can watch this on my regular account, my regular Amazon Prime account. I can watch Thursday Night Football. Is that correct?
I would certainly hope so. I would certainly hope the NFL wouldn't do something like that. I'm guessing they probably would make it so you have to.
Well, that's
upgrade.
What I was hoping is that you'd still get to see it on NFL Network. But I think that Prime got it all.
I think likely what'll happen is in the local market like Denver, we still will be able to see it.
Oh, really?
But outside
That makes sense.
Outside of the local market, you can't get it.
So if you don't have Amazon Prime, you can't watch Chiefs and Chargers on that Thursday night game.
And if you're out of the Denver market, then maybe you can listen to it on KFK.
Yeah, we'll probably have it right here on KFK for you. 22 minutes after the hour, do want to take a short break. My friends, Lemons Heating and Cooling. All right, they do a lot more than heating and cooling, okay? My friend Tanner Schwint, co-host of Good Morning NoCo, gets home yesterday, and underneath his house, there's just water. He has flooding going on, major, ruining everything. And he calls the folks over at Lemons Heating and Cooling. They bust hump to get over there ASAP, and they get it fixed. They get it taken care of. That feeling is gut-wrenching. You come home to that mess, and you know you're not even sure where to begin. Well, I'll tell you, 970-567-0798. That's where you begin. When disaster strikes, they'll help you out there too. But for the more casual thing, you're thinking, all right, the heat's starting to pick up out there. We're approaching those summer months. Time to make sure everything is up to speed, that air conditioner is ready to go. Lemons Heating and Cooling, 970-567-0798. 23 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We do know who the Avs will be playing. The Avs are going up against St. Louis. St. Louis wins in six. Another former Av in Ryan O'Reilly. So we continue to see Avs of Christmas past going up against the Colorado Avalanche. Where's this series going to go? The pressure now begins for Colorado. We knew they had to get past the first round, but I think we both agree, or we all agree, that they have to get past the second round. That's where the pressure is. Otherwise, is it the end for Jared Bednar? I know that's a tough one to ask, but you have to start expecting it to get past this second round. The pressure is now on for the Avs. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Listen to Betting Across America with former Buff Mike Pritchard, weekdays at 2 on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the show. If you missed any portion of the program, we got our podcasts available. Anywhere you get your podcast, you're going to find The Hull Show. How about that? But also, we have available at thehullshow.com as well as 1310kfka.com. There I also have my breakdown of the schedule where I think the Broncos are going to win and lose this year. And you can go see exactly how I line that out. I do like Denver to go 11-6. So when we're talking about voting in the over-under 10 games, I'm going to hammer that. I'm going to hammer that over. I'm going to say Denver gets at least 11 wins on the season. Denver was a 7-win team last year. You got to think with Russell Wilson, that's at least 3-4 game improvement, right? It's got to be the case. So go ahead and check it out. Tell me what you think. Again, at thehullshow.com. Also vote on our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Over under for the Broncos, 10 wins is where DraftKings and ESPN and everybody else has placed the Broncos, at least at this point. All right, we don't have to wait anymore. The Avalanche know their opponent. They'll be going up against St. Louis, and that will start up on Monday. So a lot of time. No. Yes, Monday. May the 9th. What am I talking about there? May the 9th. We're not in reverse order here, Michael. I believe they go up against, they started up against St. Louis on Monday. Am I right? Thought I saw that, but it's not available on their schedule right now. So let me make sure. Yeah, Monday. Tanner Schwinn of Good Morning NoCo was saying he thinks the Avs are going to sweep St. Louis. I mean, what are the odds of that actually happening?
That's a bold prediction.
He called it against Nashville and got it right. So I guess they're still waiting to officially set everything up because you still have games tonight. You got a game six tonight between the Rangers and the Penguins. You also have a game six between the Panthers and the Capitals. It's actually going to be a huge Friday in hockey tonight. You got the Flames and the Stars. That's game six. So are we going to have some game sevens coming up? We'll see. And then Saturday, still a full slate of hockey. So they're waiting to get all that done, likely before they set the schedules. But what we're being told, I think, is that Monday is when the Avs will go up against, they'll get their next opponent with St. Louis. So Ryan O'Reilly, we're getting another. Matt Duchesne was in the first series. Ryan O'Reilly here. Avs of Christmas past. I'm telling you, man, the pressure is certainly on Jared Bednar. I don't want to go that route. Who doesn't love Jared Bednar? Who doesn't love his story? Replacing Patrick Waugh is a relatively unknown guy. No head coaching experience in the NHL. No coaching experience in the NHL. Has a really bad season his first year. And then after that, they're really good from that point on. So you don't want to... I don't want to move on from him. I don't want to move on from Michael Malone. Michael Malone's pressure is going to be next year in the regular season or in the playoffs. But I got to tell you, this is where it is. You've been expected now to be a Stanley Cup at least contender for the last 2 years, maybe even the last three. Certainly this year and then last year. Because, I mean, you look at everything that he's done. So he's already been there for, this is already his sixth year, if you can believe that. It's already been 6 years since the whole Patrick Waugh changeover to Jared Bednar. Now, when you look at what he's done, they were bad his first year. They were 22-56. And then they were 43-30, 38-30, 42-20, 39-13, and then 56-19. Again, weird stuff with 2020 and the games played and all that. So kind of COVID happened in the middle of Bednar's time here, but I think you're wanting to be, I mean, they've been in the playoffs now every year since 2017. So you do go to the whole George Karl thing and say, when do you get us past that next step? When do you take us, you know, to the top? Yeah, they were his first year, his second year they were in the playoffs. I mean, he hasn't missed the playoffs other than his first year. So it's very impressive. They were 2-4 his second year. They won two playoff games. The next year, of course, we know they went 7-5, 9-6, 6-4. They had the sweep in the first round last year, and they won the first two against Vegas. And then we all know what happened there. So his playoff record is 28-19. It's not bad, but you're one better than what George Karl was doing. You're getting past the first rounds. George Karl couldn't get past the first round. And then after 8 years of that, it was finally like, okay, we love you, man. You're great at regular season. We just can't get past this first round. What do we do here? Brian Shaw didn't work out. We know that Malone, for the most part, has worked out. Malone's been out of the second round or first round twice now. Maybe three? Twice. Three times. Three times. I'm losing track, man. It does go by fast. But I think if you're an Avs fan, you're one step further. You're looking at it going, how do we get past the second round? Is Bednar the guy that can do that? Well, you got it coming up on Monday. And we'll see. I think they're going to do this. My extensive hockey knowledge that I have possessed over the last 3 weeks tells me they're going to do this. Listen, I'll just say this. I was talking to my guy Clark Johnson, Clark and the Coach, Preps Radio. He's a diehard hockey guy. He wanted Minnesota. He wanted to play Minnesota because he thinks they're dirty, they're scumbags, they're nasty, and he wanted to be able to beat those guys. But I'm wondering if maybe that was more of the, hey, I want to beat a team that maybe they think we can't match up well against. Maybe this matchup bodes well for the Avs going forward. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yeah, Malone's playoff record is certainly getting interesting. He's 21-26. And he's been, I can't believe he's been with the team as long. 7 years already for Michael Malone with the Nuggets. And they missed out on the playoffs his first 3 years. They kept getting better. The first year they went, they did win, they did get past the first round. Second year was the bubble. Third year was they got past the first round, beat Portland, and that's when they got swept by Phoenix. And then this year, obviously, they go down 4-1 to Golden State. They're both, Jared Bednar and Michael Malone are both in kind of similar spots. Jared Bednar, though, the pressure isn't to get to the finals necessarily. It's to, can you get us to the next stage? Because we're the best team in hockey the last 2 years. We need to prove it with a title. That's the goal. Michael Malone is at the point where it's like, all right, you've proven you're a playoff team. You've proven that for the most part you can get past the second round or the first round. Did it twice. Now we need you to prove that you're a contender. That's the next step for you. Prove that you're at least a contender, top five. Bednar, bring it home. Can you bring home the hardware? That's where we are with those two coaches, both under a certain amount of pressure. 37 minutes after the hour, First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Mysterio says, Hulu Live gets everything. Hulu Live, that's the one to go to? That's the one?
Yeah, I think it's like $30 a month, though.
So if it gets everything, why not just cancel all your other stuff? Or is he not really saying it gets everything?
Well, it gets everything on Hulu.
What is Amazon and Hulu, are they together?
Those are different.
Okay.
Hulu.
Yeah, I'm stupid with this
Hulu
stuff.
Is owned by Disney. It was owned by several different companies, and then Disney bought a lot of companies, and now they own pretty much everything.
There's too many of these things, man.
Well, that's the thing. Disney's like, Disney agrees. There's too many of these things, so we're going to buy
them
more
all.
Of them.
Whatever happened to the DC app that I stole? I mean, I didn't steal from you.
I believe it's still around, but only DC Universe. It's only there for comics.
So you don't get to watch like any of the cool movies anymore and the TV shows they had?
Yeah, that is now on HBO Max.
Because I liked that one, the robot one.
Brendan Fraser. I always forget the name of it.
Nobody can remember it. I liked the first season. It got a little weird for me, but I liked some of those shows. And then
first season was the best. Second season was really good. It did the same thing where it would go on a tangent and kind of
yeah. Yeah. 39 minutes after the hour.
Again, Batman's on HBO Max.
There you go. Again, go check out my schedule prediction, my Broncos win-loss prediction, available at thewholeshow.com. 39 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
It's been a good mix of Friday the 13th tunes. Kind of spooky. Spooky goings-ons out there. Be careful out there, Northern Colorado. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Shout-out to On the Rocks Liquor. Pick up the game beer of the week from Breckenridge Brewing, Strawberry Sky. It's a Kolsch-style ale. You can pick up selections from Breckenridge Brewing or any of your favorite adult beverages. Use the drive-thru. They're open until midnight every single night. Also, free tastings. Today, 4 o'clock to 7, you can try some free tastings from Loveland Ale Works. And then tomorrow from 4 to 7, Synergy Wines will be on hand. That's On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Mike Kliss reporting, and I didn't get to this earlier in the show, but I just want to read what he tweeted out. Judy appeared in court wearing orange jumpsuit and shackles. He spoke with Attorney Steinberg prior to hearing. The judge did find probable cause on charge of criminal tampering and domestic violence enhancer. Judge added there was no threat of physical violence. No plea was given. Next court date for Judy is May 31st at 1:30. Victim in court said she called 911 hoping police would monitor situation and not have Judy arrested. Judge explained it's the DA office bringing charges. So, again, it sounds like Judy and victim, or however you want to call her, whatever, are relatively okay at this point. As far as the legal side goes, we do know Jerry Judy has three cell phones, and she took one of them away. And in response to that, he locked her stuff in a car. She wanted to leave. She couldn't leave without that stuff. And it kept going, kept going, kept going. She wanted the cops to come to de-escalate the situation, not arrest him. And that's the way it went. They arrested him, and here we are with Jerry Judy at this point. Let's see how he responds to all of this. It's a tough situation. It's not, like I said, certainly doesn't sound like the worst thing in the world, but it's not exactly as if it's the best thing either. Getting arrested is not good. Even if she didn't want it to happen, it got to the point where you called the cops to de-escalate, meaning the two of you couldn't figure out how to de-escalate the situation. The cops needed to be involved. Well, it's when you call the cops, it needs to be a serious situation, right? They're not just going to come over there and hang out and monitor the argument. It's either serious enough to call the cops or not. So she didn't want him to be arrested. She didn't think it was that serious, but basically just wanted them there to help de-escalate. So which is it? Serious enough where you absolutely needed to call the cops or not? Tough situation. Again, do we blow past this in the next couple of weeks and it's more of a story that we talk about, we randomly bring up, and then we kind of forget about it? Or is this something that's going to spiral now for Judy? Some of those on the opposite, there's two different sides of this thing. There's some sides, we got to be one mistake. We got to be careful not to think too much into it. You know, get all the facts first. And then there's the other side that's like, oh my gosh, he's got arrested. It's terrible. He's done. He's not going to be a good guy. And da da da. Listen, he got arrested. It's worth talking about. There's a lot of pressure on him to be a great player for the Broncos, but more pressure probably now with a kid, right? To be a better person. So I'm sorry. I do look at this. You have a 1-month-old kid. And you're locking each other's crap in cars. You clearly can't seem to trust each other. And that's personal stuff. But then it became extra, outside of personal. You called the cops. So those of you saying it's not our business, once you call the police and the police come down and make an arrest, it becomes widespread conversation. And if you don't like it, sorry. If she didn't think he should be arrested, If it wasn't that bad to where she thought he should be arrested, she shouldn't have called. But clearly she felt something. And I'm not like belittling her if she was scared at all. I'm not belittling that. But this isn't a, hey, I just want to call the cops to have them come over here and monitor the situation. Clearly they came over and assessed things as being maybe worse than, or it progressed to that point, and then they decided to make a decision. Again, I don't know if that was the right move at that point, but when you call the cops, you're playing a different game. We all get into arguments. We all slam doors. We all do silly things. When you call the cops, that adds a different element to everything. You better be ready for it. 48 minutes after the hour, our Method Flow Products poll question of the day, over under 10 wins for the Broncos. Most of the hooligans are crazy here. Going under that 10 win, over 80%. Yeah. Oh, pretty bad. I'm shocked at this. Almost 80% now. 49 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. What's on the tube tonight? What's on KFKA? It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Keep it tuned to Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
What's up, hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back in to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. What's on tonight? We've got the Rockies back in action. Whew, they need to figure something out, man. They're going up against the Royals. That game's going to be, you can hear that right here on 1310 KFKA. Kyle Freeland going to the mound tonight for the Rocks. Freeland's been pretty good for the most part. I think, you know, a couple of his outings have been strange with the outfield and such, but you know, the last couple of weeks he's been really good. So the Rocks got to get this thing done. What's scary is the matchup predictor according to ESPN against the Royals, the 10-19 Royals, who are 4-10 on the road. The matchup predictor is only giving the Rockies a 56% chance of winning. That's not necessarily a big thing, but I do think the Rockies get this series. They have to win this series against the Royals because then they got San Francisco coming to Denver, but still, tough one. So we got that tonight on KFKA for you. Big night in playoffs continue. Boston and Milwaukee. Milwaukee's up 3-2 in that series. Golden State and Memphis is up. Golden State's up 3-2 in that series. So we could have forcing of some game sevens coming up, or we could end two series tonight. And then, of course, we've got a lot of NHL playoff action, as we mentioned earlier. Big games coming up. The Avs continuing to wait and see. Well, they know who they're getting. They got St. Louis, but now we're waiting to get this first round done so we can start scheduling the second. That's going to do it for us. We got Betting Across America coming up next. Good night, Northern Colorado.